All right. Good to start?
Yep.
Okay, welcome everybody out. We're going to go ahead and start our work meeting. It is February 25th. It's 5 o'clock. In attendance, we have Hugh Howard, Richard Howard, myself, Tyson Spenlove.
Sherm, sorry.
See, there you go.
I wish he was here.
No Hugh yet. Maybe he'll attend.
He won't be able to make it until maybe 6.
Okay. Other than that, we'll go ahead and get started. Derek, how do you want to proceed here? I know we've got it up on the board. Do we want to walk through what's been highlighted and just we can discuss after that?
Yeah, just those. There's two or three highlights. So we got 10,000. We previously talked about 8, opened it to more people. And then they had put in. You want me to? You just want to talk?
You're doing great. I can. But
I don't want to take over. But
you know what's been adjusted, and I'd like to know what's been adjusted.
So basically, in part of the discussion, it says except for detached accessory dwelling units, no new licenses for the establishment, or no new license for the establishment, expansion or operation or short-term rental vacation shall be issued in the residential zone. All applications for new and renewal licenses shall be accompanied. Basically, all ADUs that are going to be applicable to the vacation rental aspect of the short-term rental would be required to have a business license, come in and get a business license every year. And along with that, they would need to bring in proof that the applicant is the owner of both the primary single-family dwelling and detached accessory dwelling unit. So that, you know, that brings in the proof that it's not, that they have to live there. And then there's a provision in here that they have to, the short-term rental can only take place in the ADU and not in the regular house. That was, you know, the way that it sits right now, long-term rentals and family stays can all take place in either one. The homeowner can decide whether they want to live in the main house or the ADU. But if you're going to use it for a vacation rental, it only qualifies in the ADU or DADU. Which were, those were the three provisions you guys have talked about in your last discussion.
So. Perfect. I know we've had a good amount of time to think about this one, and I didn't know if you guys had any concerns or comments on those adjustments. I do feel like, at least from my understanding from our meeting, those seem to be the biggest concerns, and some of the concerns brought up that were concerning specific seem to be focused more towards the full house being used as the short-term rental, not the detached. And so I feel like this definitely locks it down that it's the detached can be for short-term. The homeowner has to live in the home itself.
Correct.
And so that ties stuff down pretty good. From
that was
week.
The ones that I was wanting to point out, yeah.
Okay.
If this was approved, I appreciate that this will be put in. I'm just so concerned that this is the way the city has, we tried to slow it down. This opens it up, at least here, larger in the potential to it than it was before when there was some sort of percentage. This one basically is saying if you have a 10,000 square foot lot that you could do this. I just don't know that it's too much for Laverkan. I mean, if Laverkan wants this and everybody wanted it, I know it'll benefit a few, and it would be a good benefit, but there's also the extra cost of creating the thing in the first place. Anybody that has an ADU would have to have that extra expense of creating it, besides keeping it up. So just going back to the idea, when we stopped it all together, I'm just afraid of opening it up all over again. I mean, I like the provisions here, if it were something that is, but is it something that has to be So my whole hang-up is that it may be Pandora's box that we don't know how big it might go, because it doesn't even have the control that it had before as far as how many there could be.
Sorry I'm late.
You're okay.
We just got started.
We just went through the highlighted sections that were adjusted.
Derek, at 7,500 square foot lot right now, there's no detached accessory dwelling unit on the property past this. They could, in fact, construct one, right?
They can now.
They can now.
Mm-hmm. Just can't be used for rent.
Short-term rental.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They can do it now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's allowed use in 10,000 square foot properties or larger.
But wait a minute. If we don't pass, my assumption, I've always understood that we're not issuing any more new licenses for vacation rentals.
Correct. Under the old provisions. But
under the old provisions.
Right.
So,
but if we open it up.
But if we pass this, it doesn't necessarily have to be a detached accessory dwelling unit that's in place right now. When we pass the ordinance, it would also apply to any future detached accessory dwelling unit that might be constructed on a 10,000 square foot
right.
Square lot.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many 10,000 square lots are. I mean, just trying to get to your point, how many will there be, and what effect will this have? I don't know how.
Well, the town right now is almost half of, when you look at the zoning map, and you can't really use the zoning map because there's a lot of larger lots within any particular zone, right? If you're in R18, you may have a larger lot, but if you look at the R18 lots, they're take up about half the town. And then it's a combination from 10s and 14s, probably pretty well mixed in between. So percentages is probably going to have a less percentage than what we have previously done, because that was per zone, and I think we had 8 or 9 zones that they were allowed to have 7.5% allowances within those zones. So when we put it back to the original 8, we were trying to open it up for more, but that didn't seem to be the thing that anybody wanted, so we went back to the 10, which fits the ordinance now. So basically, the ADUs are allowed now for long-term rentals and family, not parties, it's not the word I'm looking for, families that need to move back, you know, and stuff like that. We just provide another provision with the short term. You know, so you're basically going to again have the traffic pretty much there one way or the other if people have qualified for it. And even in a 10,000 square foot lot, I'm sure that you can have an ADU, because we have more than 8% of the lot dedicated to secondary buildings. You would qualify if you don't qualify for setbacks, you know. So there's probably out of that, there'll probably be a handful that would qualify even with the proper lot size. So. Real, this just changes the fact that they can do short-term rentals.
And yeah, my only point was that if you drive around town now, look at 10,000 square foot lots, and you say, okay, here's a detached accessory dwelling unit, they can get one. Here's one that can get one. But those lots who don't have a DADU on there now could construct one 6 months from now, mm-hmm. and then come in and get a license for the short-term rental.
Part of my interest is that the ADU concept in the first place was for housing shortages. It wasn't for necessarily extra income for families, and I can understand why they would want it and need it. I don't know how many would actually qualify, just like you talk about the percentages of it. I just don't know that. Is it policeable, like when somebody has the main house and they go on vacation, like a snowbird or something, for 3 months? Is there somebody managing that's there? Just all the what ifs. It's just like a speed limit sign. I mean, if we have these controls in place, but you go down the freeway, you know it's 90 miles an hour, not 70.
Why don't people police anything 100%? I mean, when I retire, I'm going to make a business of how to work on all those ordinances.
You just said what I was saying.
You know, so, but I think we put, and I have no skin in the game here, okay, for or against. But I just think, you know, when we did create this, it actually was for income, for those that have a passive income that could, you know, have something to bring in additional money. You know, the elderly that are on a set income, you know, it was something for, like, you know, for them to have something to bring in that, you know, as rates and stuff go up to do. Plus, we now see a lot of family members moving back, right? You know, to live with their parents or whatever it is, just because of whatever happens up there. So that was really the two provisions that we had that we made this zone for. So, you know, financially it was probably at least half of the reason that we started doing this, you know, but we never really thought about the short-term part of it. But the provisions you guys put in there, as far as now we make it mandatory business licensing, we can have people that do our checking on vacation rentals could help manage this, you know, so if we got people that are illegally trying to rent out, we could go through the process of getting a letter and, you know, either shutting them down or making them come in and qualify, you know, bringing it up to par or whatever it is. But, you know, so you implemented the business license, you've implemented the proof of ownership, you have to live here, which was a big thing, right, when we first passed the original vacation rental, was that you guys wanted somebody, you had to live on site. You know, I mean, that's Alan's biggest thing, is nobody's there to mitigate or help, to mitigate what, you know, he's got going on. And so, you know, I think we've done what we can do in regards to how you want to vote on it. I think we've had every provision we can think of that people are going to do what they want to do.
My thought on that, I mean, of course, I don't deal with change very easy, none of us really do. I would love it back to where I used to just hop through all of the fields from one grandparent to another grandparent and just wandered the place. And it's not that Laverkan anymore. But what I feel like, in a way, if we regulate all of this, we're regulating all of the options or freedom that landowners have to choose to do something. And it still helps the business, I mean, the owners out, plus it helps the city out because of the extra fees and everything. And I just feel like I hate to regulate too many things that nobody has any choice to do, self-govern what they want to do with their property. And this just gives just a little bit more. I mean, not that they have a whole lot. It would actually be better for me to not vote for it, because then I get competition because I have one. But already the vacation rentals, I feel like, are slowing down a little bit this year. And so we may even end up flooding the place, and everybody may have to go back to a long-term rental or whatever. But at least they have the option to choose, and that's where I'm kind of thinking.
I was at the public hearing after we allowed them, before we put a number on it. I forget the name of the subdivision, north end of town, the nice one, on your way down to Confluence Park. But they were at the public hearing and really distressed that there were five on their street and they'd lost their neighborhood. I didn't foresee the possibility of that happening. We came off our list, the five-year list, to get an elementary school because the vacation rentals took enough housing away from Laverkan that the kind of houses the young families would live in were the kind that vacation rentals were just right for vacation rentals. And I worry about the unforeseen consequences, because we keep doing that. This seems like something much more drastic. There's the potential for this to be ubiquitous citywide. And I'm just worried that we're going to do another thing to cost the neighborhood feel. I've stayed in these. I did in Hawaii. It was wonderful. I loved it. I was in a quiet neighborhood. And Rita and I didn't have the police called on us once. But the people after me, the people before me, I think it will be hard to police. And the libertarian part of me says, let them do what they want with their property. Thomas Jefferson said you should have the ability to do what you want with your property as long as it doesn't bloody my nose or empty my wallet. I'm not sure that this won't increase property values. It won't be good for our housing crisis. Rational people will rent it out as vacation rental if they can, just because it's much more lucrative. It's going to make our housing worse. And I'm not sure where the line between property rights and us over-regulating is. But I worry that this is going to undo things that we've tried to put a lid back on. That's the way it feels. There were people at the public hearing who are friends of mine, and it feels like this is going to do them some serious harm because they've been illegally doing what they're now trying to make legal. And so I was torn. I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning the next morning, couldn't go back to sleep, worrying about doing them harm. But we have to do what we feel is best for the whole city. And in 15 years, I'd hate for us to be like Carmel by the sea. And there are a few residents who don't know each other because they're surrounded by vacation rentals. Or Moab, where there are people living in tents outside city limits because they can't afford anything. And I just worry about uncorking a genie we can't get back in the bottle.
Do you know how many current bed and breakfasts we have?
Maybe around between 30 and 40.
Okay. Because I've had the same concern, especially when it comes to when we talk nightly rentals, we're talking the full home being used as a nightly rental. This last week I started looking around, driving and looking around to see how many bed and breakfasts can I kind of point out or notice. And I could see a couple. Typically there's more cars. There's usually a sign for guest parking or, you know, something like that that kind of points it out. And I do agree. I still have concerns with how it'll affect the residential or that neighborhood feel. But at the same time, I started to realize, like, we do allow for the bed and breakfasts that are attached. It's going to be a very similar feel. It's just going to be a separate building on that property. And so I started looking through kind of these. I guess the one first question I had was making sure that it clearly stated that there's only one unit that could be used for a nightly rental, which that's in here. But I didn't see anywhere, because this is where I have the concern if we were to push this through, is I have some concerns with it clearly stating. A while back we kind of updated all of our code or like standards for what's required for parking, that the building, the detached accessory building needs to match the aesthetics of the existing home, and I just didn't see that clearly stated anywhere in here. It states some of the provision, like that you need to have sleeping, cooking, sanitation, all that stuff, but it doesn't. I didn't see anywhere where it's clearly stated it needs to match.
We just put the provisions in that were being changed.
Okay.
So we didn't put the whole code in there. So that's still part of the code.
So they would, if to that point, if they were to come in and they had an existing building that didn't match their home,
has to be brought.
They would have to bring it up to code and match the existing exterior finishes. Including parking and everything else, because that's a concern of street parking.
The last sentence of this bottom one here, all licensees shall comply with all terms and conditions stated in section 311.12. That's the section that lists all the requirements for all the transient lodging facilities throughout the city. So it requires parking, it requires inspections, all those things. And it makes this subject to all of those requirements.
Could they bed and breakfast at the ADU?
No, it has to be attached. That has to be attached.
Okay.
Number five still states 8,000 square feet, but then it says 10,000 square feet.
Yeah, Fain, I got
it. We went through so many different drafts of this thing, it's hard to get it all straight. But it should be 10,000
square feet. Yeah, and that's what's on that new one here.
Yeah. Well, it's on the new one.
Up here.
Right there.
Oh, I didn't do that on that
one. I corrected it at one spot, not the other.
Yeah.
So. Then Derek showed me where I made a mistake, and I went back and corrected both of them. I'm not sure Derek got that.
You think you can ever show an attorney a mistake? No.
If I could express some of my concern on this is, with my understanding is attached to accessory dwelling units, they can use as short-term rentals right now. Is that what you said? Is that right?
Bed and breakfast.
A bed and breakfast. If we allow the detached ones as well to be used for Airbnb short-term rentals, where's your starting point for a family in Laverkin? Because when I first got married, I lived in someone's basement. My in-laws lived in a mother-in-law suite behind somebody's house. If all of those are open to be Airbnb rentals, where does anyone start in Laverkin? Because it makes more economic sense to make them short-term rentals. So who would have their detached accessory dwelling unit be a long-term rental if Airbnb is an option? And if we don't have attached ones, because they can be Airbnbs, the detached ones can be Airbnbs, where would anyone get a start in Laverkin as a young family? Your only option is full home ownership, really, or maybe a long-term full house rental, which are more expensive than a mother-in-law suite or an attached apartment above a garage apartment for somebody. I just worry about losing those starting places for people in our city, that they can't come here until they're later in life and able to buy a home or rent a full house. That's my concern.
I see a lot of important arguments all in different ways, because Sherman and I share the same heritage of that free space to run in, where you'd like nobody to control you, whatever, and then watching Laverkin getting more and more and more condensed, and then the cost that just in the last 8 years skyrocketed just to make it to the point where we have four kids that can't afford to buy a home here. So to your point, to Kyson's point, I had the same concerns. Will the parking, will the regulation, will all of that, if it were to be approved, I actually, kind of like Sherman says, speaking against myself, I'd actually be glad that it has more control of it, because the city is getting much more condensed than it used to be, rather than the ability to be open and free like it used to be. So there's some really good points on both sides, but my concern goes back to the original purpose for ADUs was to do what you're talking about, Christian, as to relieve the housing shortage and to help other people have it there. And then my other half of the concern is it Pandora's box? Because if every 10,000 square foot, and I don't know what's going to happen up on the hill, but if every possibility to have a rental be short-term, of course, all of us are going to want that, because it pays for that property much faster. But it also may, and I don't have to worry about whether or not the economics of it dilutes the rentals, but it is a problem of when do we overbuild here in this. Did anybody go to Parade of Homes? We went to one on the golf course at Black Rock. It's this $6 million great home that has all these master bedrooms. I said, which one is the master? And they said, oh, this is just a rental. I said, so everybody has a master. I don't know how many rentals are in this county. Not that we have to be concerned with that necessarily, but what is the purpose of the ADU here? What will benefit Laverkin overall best? And not the few people like you talk about, because I know some of the people that spoke at the last meeting, I had the same empathy that says, would we deny them something that would help them? But individually condensed in a little incorporated town now, are we able to just freely let everybody do what they they would hope to do like we used to want to be able to do? And do we have to consider how it impacts the next door neighbor now? I don't know. I speak out of both sides of my mouth, but I'm just concerned.
At League of Cities and Towns, not last year, but the year before, they said more than 50% of the vacation rentals in the state of Utah were owned by a corporation also. I don't know if that's houses purchased by Hyatt and Marriott, or if they're in a vacation rental building someplace, but I worry about corporations owning them, and our this ordinance says it has to be owner occupied. What happens when a corporation buys it? The corporation then becomes the owner. Can they put staff there and have it be owner occupied? Can a corporation, does this exclude a corporation from buying a house in Laverkan with the ADU? I don't know.
To that same point, how do we police what it means to occupy the house? Do we have to set a, you have to live in it for a certain number of days in the year to count as occupying it? How granular do we have to get with that?
It has to be the primary residence. So they can do that by affidavit. You can do that by going on the county records and seeing how it's recorded, because it'll say whether it's a primary house. If that's not your primary house that you live out, you don't qualify. So there's a number of forms or angles that they can bring in to provide that. It's like a corporation really couldn't. I could be wrong. Not wrong, probably more than I'm ever right. But I don't think a corporation could ever fulfill that primary residential qualification.
The house would have to be in an employee's name, in a sense.
And that would make them the sole.
Exactly.
So your mailings, all your stuff's going to go there. So there's going to be proof with however they want to bring that in. We used to detail it out like three or four different ways you could do it, but we didn't want to restrict it because there are more than three or four different ways to provide that type of information.
Is that is that burdensome on the city to have to, like, if someone calls and say, hey, I don't think they're actually primary, that's not actually their primary residence?
We have that now. Yeah, it's a pain in the rear end. That's why making them bring it in at the same time that we enacted the business license is a huge thing. So they have to provide that to us to verify rather than us having to go in and verify.
So to get the license to run the Airbnb, at that time they have to provide the evidence of primary residence.
Every
year when they renew it as well. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which makes it easier for us to write now. See, because we have a lot of people now that try to oust their neighbors on, it's not their primary dwelling, and we have to go in and verify. It's kind of a pain in the rear end. But this way, at least we're getting the documentation verified.
Just as a thought here, Alan and Derek and all of us, in this work meeting, were we here to decide whether we were going to do it or not, or decide how we were going to do it? What are we coming out with in this meeting? Because
you can go into the other meeting.
Yeah.
In the next meeting, we have a proposed motion to send it to the city council.
We do. So this is a preliminary decision to the public
decision. This is just a discussion.
Yeah, just more
not a decision.
Okay. Well, as far as what's in here, if it were already and needed to be amended, I'm really liking what this is here, along with the other provisions of what an ADU already is described as. And so do we need to do any work on this, or do we just need to keep kind of sharing where we're at?
I think if we needed to do more work, we'd have to postpone the action.
And do we?
I'm not sure we need to.
The first decision we have to make when we go into our meeting is whether or not we like the concept and we want to vote in favor of it. That's the first hurdle. And then secondly, is the language of the ordinance sufficient to do what we want it to do? If we conclude in the first instance that no, we don't want to do this, but he never reached the second point. Mm-hmm. But if you conclude, yeah, this is a good idea, we think we should proceed, then if the language is not sufficient, then we would postpone it for another couple of weeks until we can get the language correct.
Which is kind of what we did last time. Right?
Which is sort of what we did last time, although to me, the biggest question is, do we want to do this? Do we want to go down this road? Mm-hmm. That's the bigger question.
We need to, in retrospect, we really need to decide sooner rather than later, because we got so many more busy things coming before us that this is, we've been talking about this for how many months now? Even if we got the right language in it, is it really what you want? I'd always assumed this would be an 0-5 vote going to the city council. But we had a public hearing, we heard from some people. Maybe one or two has changed their mind, but
I was just going to say, I feel like whether we recommend it as a yes or a no, or our feelings, we do have city council men that have interest in this idea. And so I think really we need to look at this more as whether or not we agree with it, how can we ensure that we're protecting the residents and the city the best that we can with what's been written. And then whether or not we agree with it, we make that decision in the next meeting. City council is going to do with it what they want. But I think it's us trying now to protect ourselves the best we can with the wording that's here. And that's, yeah.
Well, I like the wording that's here. If the council voted against, if the planning commission voted against it and the council voted for it, I like the provisions that were worked in it. But I guess my feelings about what I'm worried about, so that if we were doing a preliminary vote right now, I wouldn't be supporting it. But I'm glad that if we get overwritten, that you've provided these provisions.
The council, of course, can, whatever you recommend, whatever language we recommend, the council can always override that, put in their own language, do whatever they want to do.
Well, then... Much of our discussion would be, whether we vote in the next one or not, is that if we get overridden, or if the vote were negative, have we provided enough here if the city council chooses to go forward with it?
Yeah. I think the real... for the planning commission, at least, I think what we're doing is sending a message to the city council. If nobody likes it, and we vote 0-5 against it, that's a pretty strong message to the council that we don't think it's a good idea. If it passes 3-2 or 4-1, then that message is, okay, council, here it is. You do with it what you want to do.
Plus, we were able to get some ideas on how, if it did go, kind of some things too with everybody else's brains that they could bounce off of what we already have.
I was going to say, I've rarely seen in a city council meeting where they take planning commission's recommendations and erase a lot or add a lot. It's usually they take that and they make one or two minor adjustments.
Yeah.
So what we're doing is very important.
Yeah.
How long have we been at this? We've been at this for several months, right? The city council will put it on their agenda and likely pass it. Maybe it'll continue it for 2 weeks, but then they'll likely pass it or not pass it. They won't put nearly the time and effort into it that we have. I don't think. Maybe I won't.
Not by any means.
John's shaking his head. I guess you've been there.
No, but I don't know if you want to talk and you're working, but... I look at this as getting the best of your advice. That's what I'm looking for. And as each individual citizen that you are, I want to hear how you feel about this coming about. And I know, because I was on that side, this is what the council is looking for. What is your best advice to us? Certainly, we do have the right to, accept it or not. But that's what we're looking for. We're looking for advice. Your best advice.
Well, then, Is there more that we ought to discuss on?
We need to move on to the mixed
use. I think we're through there.
Yeah.
Let's move to the next topic.
So on that packet I gave you, you're going to see the mixed use. There's going to be a question there. So, did you see it? You got, yeah, that one right there. Alan's right on the...
I bet I have it on my book.
It'll be the kind that I gave you.
It's right there. Just the, under your, underneath your right hand.
There you go.
Thanks.
So, when we were talking about the mixed use last time, you know, everybody agreed, like, the way it was laid out. But thinking about it later that night, like Alan does, I get up. I don't get up. I just don't sleep when I think about this crap. We never really talked about, are we making this a zone of its own? Are we making an overlay within the zone? And if we are we looking at the tourist commercial, the retail commercial? Should it be property size limited? Should it have the provisions like in the tourist commercial where, here we require a minimum of 2 acres. We don't allow so much development to go on hillsides, and we make the second part, which would be the commercial and the residential aspect, be behind the main commercial business, right? So that we're not focusing on lining the whole street up with one level of commercial, and then everything else is all residential. So like the tourist resorts, like Miguel Perez property, right? Is really kind of where this ordinance that we're talking about here is, you know, all the commercial businesses need to be up front and forthwith so that people can see, and that's where we're making our money through sales tax and, you know, that revenue. And then that other aspect would be behind it, secondary to that. So these are just questions that I don't know what happened, but
you just went down.
That I think we need to answer. But I did, in that packet, put a map. And that map shows you all of the properties where, because I didn't, personally didn't think you'd want to see it in your general commercial. So I banked the whole map. Got all this on the upper end, so I've marked it whether it's giving the sizes and whether it's developed or is undeveloped. So you can start to see the extent that this would be possibly allowed in, right, throughout the city. So that takes you clear from the north, clear down to the south end. Developments, you know, you got more that's developed than undeveloped, but that kind of gives you a fairly good idea on what areas would qualify, and this is where if you wanted to get into property sizes and things like that, you can make a decision off of these property sizes. So anyway, up to you.
It never occurred to me that we were maybe talking about creating its own zone, even though that's what it says. And I worry that we would have a dozen tiny little zoned areas, zoned mixed use in our commercial, and it seems to me like it makes more sense to make it an overlay, which it didn't occur to me that that's not what we were talking about doing.
Yeah, I would agree. I think an overlay makes a lot more sense.
Brad?
There's pros and cons to both. If you do the overlay zone, you're actually overlaying it on top of other zoning. So you'd be looking at whatever this commercial zone is, or wherever you decided to go, and then that overlay zone would be on top of it, which means you'd actually be expanding more of the type of use that would be allowed in the mixed use into this overlay. If you go with just the single zone, it's not something you even have to put on a zoning map at this time. It would be in your ordinance. A developer would have to come in and say, I want to develop this property, for example. And then they would change the zone for the mixed use for that single property instead of having it be able to be place over everything that you have. So it really kind of comes down to what you want to see, how you want the town to develop. Now, overlay zones are like architectural standards overlay zones. There's open space overlay zones. They're pretty targeted in some ways. So it really kind of comes down to what you guys are looking for in the city.
Now overlay zones would still have to be an approved. They'd have to still come in and get approval to have that overlay on the zones, correct?
Well, you would overlay it on the zone right now. It wouldn't be just like, there's no such thing as like an overlay ordinance. It would be an overlay zone on top of the zone.
Yeah, so they'd call it, be a permitted use within that
right.
zone.
Yeah, I like that.
That changes things.
It would be nice if there's a way to allow it within certain zones, but not have it currently overlaid so that you can restrict it to not take over any general commercial. But
if we create it as a new zone and someone in a commercial zone wanted to switch their zoning, they could just come and apply for that change, which accomplishes kind of what you're looking for, right?
Correct, except for now you have general commercial zones that can now come and request, and we have to make that decision.
So I'd envision maybe a building, an acre of that four-acre piece of property, and the rest being other kind of commercial. But if it has to be its own zone, then we're either going to have to make a tiny little zone or make a whole big piece of property all be just mixed use. We can't have a mixed use building in a shopping mall, for example.
I wouldn't envision somebody with a small piece of property wanting to do it, because you're really talking about apartments or townhomes, condos, and then the commercial too. So a half acre or something like that, it's not gonna work.
Can you restrict an actual zone to acreage? Can you say this zone is applicable or can be, you can have this, you have the ability to apply for a zone if you have at least 2 acres on your of
your
property?
Do with your commercial properties.
That's because I feel like that's that might be a way to restrict it to only be for larger properties, because there are a lot of smaller parcels here that I don't think make any sense, but people could still try to apply if we don't restrict it.
Look at your hotel guy right up here. He wants to put his hotel, all the hotel up front, and then put the mixed use in the back, you know, which is preferable, right? Tucks it to the back, still provides some commercial along with the hotel. And he's got
so would he have to make 2 zones out of that piece of property? A mixed use and a
if you had
tourist commercial?
Zone, right?
No, well... So the mixed use allows for your commercial, and it allows for the residential.
So you could just rezone the whole parcel.
Mixed use.
Yeah.
So that would be the only different provision in mixed use. You still have the same allowability, but it would be just another provision within that.
As I recall, the way I developed the mixed use zone is that your permitted uses in your commercial are part of that zone, plus the residential portion.
So if you had a property zoned that and they opted not to make it mixed use, it could just go regular commercial.
Yeah. Now that's something to think about. We could, and I think that I wrote it to where you have to have commercial. You just can't be, let's say that happened, and they would say, well, we're just going to do apartments now. I don't think that's the way it's written.
No, you're just, the bottom, the ground floor has to be commercial.
Yeah.
But you could make it so the commercial is required, but the residential is optional. So you're saying someone could come in and just do commercial in a mixed use if they wanted to? Or are we going to require a minimum amount of residential to go with it?
The way it's written is that the residential is a permitted use in that zone, but the bottom floor, as Derek just said, I believe has to be commercial.
Commercial.
So and then there could be some residential behind, too. Because some of them are different like that. Some of them, you have like commercial and fine, you have some residential behind. So there's some flexibility to it. But you can't just have residential.
And they're not required to have residential if they don't want it. They still meet the criteria for that.
So if they wanted to run a straight commercial, they could. But it opens it up to the potential of residential if they wanted to put some with a mixed use zone.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. I do not understand the zoning and writing the zones as you do. I know Hurricane City has it's a PDO. It's a public, I think that what they call it is a private development overlay or
plan development
overlay. And I want to say, because we've done a similar project, But we had to request and meet the requirements for that overlay in order to receive it, and it had additional density bonuses and things that we could get. And so I didn't know.
You can focus those however you want to.
But the way that we've got that approval is it had to go before Planning Commission and then City Council for the approval to get that overlay.
Okay.
And so that's where I was like, I can see a benefit of an overlay because it can be more restrictive if you could have it where it's an approval process. If not, I still think it makes more sense as a zone that has to come through.
Hurricane is an approved use city, and we're permitted use.
Yep.
But that particular allowance could have to go through the Planning Commission and City Council, because there are certain provisions in the other zones that require to come to get it, you know, even though we have the whole section permitted. But if you want this other part of it, you have to go through Planning Commission and City Council. You see how this kind of opened up more into kind of a little bit bigger. And then we don't have to make a decision. It's just we need to think this through before we throw it out there.
So like a lot of cities, for example, you have like a subway or train station, like in this area, you would do an overlay over this so you could allow like some residential as part of that, because normally they like to have that synergy. So they're really kind of more targeted for certain things that you're after, as opposed to, you know, just open it up to...
Well, that makes sense.
I mean, just take the paperwork, look it through, we'll bring that up as another topic on the next one, just so we get more guidance on how to direct this. And, we the guy wants it before he starts the hotel, but we're not going to have anybody push us into deciding what we like at this point. So I think we just take our time and do our due diligence. And
well, Derek, I'm glad you asked the questions, because it brings up stuff. Like for me, I haven't been thinking of much, so they're good questions to.
Well, I don't have anything else better to do at night.
I was going to ask, so I'm just thinking like St. George downtown. Heaven forbid Laverkin becomes that big and populated downtown, but I do, you know, that's the future of any city in this area. And they do have they have some of their newer buildings that they do have residential on third and fourth floors. Mm-hmm. Commercials the first two, and so it's just another thing to think about. But if that future, that potential is there, I would hate to restrict the zone. You know, the focus is the commercial, but if there's going to be additional, you know, floors, is that something we restrict now and have them come in and request it, and then we have to go back through this process, or do we kind of plan that in?
And Kyson, I, you know, in just recent past years, I was really against that idea. But just seeing how this place has exploded, and then seeing how it works downtown in St. George, I wish we'd have been able to do this for the Fields project instead of what we got, because I don't know what that thing is, but it isn't what you just described. And it sure would have been if we'd have been watching out for it. Could have been.
You know, just taking it out a little bit further, thinking-wise, I think the city's going to come in with some type of a plan for the downtown. And that might be a good time to really look at that, to see how that all kind of comes together. And then you could do the overlay on top of that plan, and zoning, whatever that plan comes up to be. And it probably makes a lot more sense in that regard, as opposed to just...
We've had that discussion. Do we know, like, how soon do you think we'll be working on that downtown?
Well, from the discussion that we had today, because we had our budget retreat today, Brad has been willing to work with us more because he likes us. And so between Brad and you guys and the city council, they want to start sitting down and looking, because we didn't get that grant that we were expecting to get to help us. But they see the necessity of trying to figure out who we want to be when we grow up, which is conversations we've had for years, never figured it out. And we knew we'd get it, our backs up against the wall, and I think we're there now. So I would imagine it will be starting quite soon, especially after I report to you what's happening on the top side. It's going to become even more imminent to get going on it now. So I'd imagine within the next couple of months, we'll be starting the process. At least to start to lay stuff out and have this discussion. So if you guys take the rest of the paperwork I gave you that's not in your packet, I highlighted all the changes that Brad's made in the commercial, general commercial, retail commercial, and first commercial. So you can see every change that was made on it, and that's what I'll put up on the board tonight if you want to, you know, for part of these public hearings and stuff, so that, you know, you have a full idea of what we started with and where we've gone, and hopefully that provides more clarity. I don't know.
On this mixed use, are we considering allowing vacation rentals in the mixed use zone? Is that what that VR is that I'm reading?
I think that was everything, wasn't it? Short-term rentals.
Short-term rentals in a mixed use zone?
I think so.
I don't remember exactly. It says that, but the VR is in there. That's what that is.
That's what the VR is, vacation rental, the short-term rentals.
Which of all the spots, it could make sense.
I think so, too.
It makes a lot more sense there than in a residential.
Yeah.
We talked about making a vacation rental zone topside so that it would just be a...
I know they've done that in Hurricane. They've had bespoke zones for vacation rentals. That one with the views and that Italian ice place, that's a vacation rental zone.
You'll have those on the topside. But they're gonna, you guys made it so that they had to be all together. So they can't be spread out through residential communities. It's to be kind of in a
nice
location.
I just think if we have a mixed use with vacation rentals and long-term living right there, all together, seems like an interesting mix to have all together there. If it's 15% vacation rentals and then some long-term residential and some commercial, it's just as interesting. I don't know. I don't know what I think about that yet.
If there's nothing further, let's change rooms.